You know, like how important it is to feel really understood in therapy, right? To feel seen. But like, what happens when your therapist, even if they mean well, you know, makes you feel like you're not seen or invalidated, especially because of your gender identity?
Oh, yeah.
That's where things get kind of tricky, right? And that's actually what we're diving into today with this research. It's all about how therapists see microaggressions, especially those that are like directed at transgender and non-binary clients.
Yeah, super important topic. This particular study looks at how psychology trainees, so future therapists, and also licensed psychologists, so those already out there practicing, detect microaggressions. Specifically, I guess, yeah, aimed at transgender and non-binary clients during therapy.
Oh, interesting. So it's like future therapists and current therapists. Got it. And I think what makes this deep dive even more interesting is, you know, this study is suggesting even therapists who really are trying to be supportive, you know, actually can struggle to see those more subtle, like, forms of bias.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's really the heart of the matter. Microaggressions, even though they seem small, they can actually be pretty damaging to the whole therapy process, you know? It's like a crack in the foundation of trust and understanding, I think.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so let's get into like the actual study. What did they do?
Okay, so they had 105 participants.
Okay.
A mix of, you know, those trainees and the licensed psychologists. And each participant was randomly assigned to watch one of three different mock therapy videos.
Three different videos. Okay.
Oh.
So was it all showing the same like kind of therapy in these videos?
Not exactly. Two of the videos showed what we might call, you know, typically affirming care, but with different approaches.
Okay.
And the third video showed something that would be classified as not affirming care.
Interesting. So there's some nuance already. Can you walk me through each type of care that was depicted in these videos?
Sure. Yeah. So in the not affirming video, the therapist was pretty openly pushing the client towards binary gender expression and medical transition, like, you know, really steering them down a specific path.
Got it. So not very open to like individual needs there.
Right.
What about the affirming videos?
So one of the affirming videos showed a therapist who was, you know, supportive of the client's exploration of their gender identity, but still seemed to like operate under this assumption that medical transition was the ultimate goal.
So supportive, but maybe with some underlying assumptions that could be problematic.
Exactly.
Okay. And the second affirming video.
And the second one showed a therapist who was supportive without making those assumptions. So they, you know, allowed the client to lead their exploration of their gender identity without kind of steering them in any particular direction.
Okay. So three really different approaches here. What happened, like, after the participants watched the videos? Did they just, like, give their opinions?
Not quite. They were asked to really carefully mark any instances where they perceived the therapist to be, quote-unquote, insensitive towards the client.
Oh, okay.
So that was their way of kind of measuring microaggression detection.
That makes sense. See if they could spot those little moments. But there was more to it than just that, right? You mentioned they also rated the therapists on it's like multicultural orientation.
Right. MCO.
MCO. Yeah. Can you break that down? What does that mean?
Yeah. It's a really important concept in therapy, I think, especially when you're working with diverse clients. And it's multicultural orientation is really about so much more than just like knowing about different cultures, you know. It's really about how a therapist shows up in the therapeutic relationship.
Oh, so it's not just what they know, it's how they apply that knowledge, right?
Yeah.
Like in a way that's like sensitive and actually helpful.
Yes, precisely. It includes things like cultural humility, which is that ability to be open to learning from the client and recognizing your own limitations. But also things like cultural comfort, like how comfortable the therapist feels discussing, you know, issues related to culture.
And I guess like recognizing opportunities, is that about seeing the moments where it might be helpful to like really dig into a client's like background or identity?
Exactly. Yeah. A therapist with strong multicultural orientation, they're going to be really tuned in to those opportunities and use them to like really deepen the work.
Yeah. Makes sense. Okay. So they've watched the videos, they marked those moments of insensitivity, and they've rated the therapists on their MCO. What happens next? What are the researchers looking for with all this data?
So they were looking for patterns and connections, right? Like, did therapists detect microaggressions differently depending on the care that was being shown in the video? You know, did their MCO ratings, did those correlate with their ability to spot those subtle forms of bias? Those were the big questions.
I bet those findings were pretty interesting.
Well, absolutely. And one finding in particular was really surprising. There was no significant difference in how well therapists spotted those microaggressions between the two affirming video conditions.
Wait, so even when therapists were trying to be affirming and supportive, they were still missing those subtle cues.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big deal, isn't it?
It is a big deal. And it really shows, I think, the complexity of this whole issue. Even when therapists have good intentions and believe they are providing affirming care, they still might be working from, a limited understanding of gender identity and all the nuances of microaggressions.
So saying you're affirming and actually being affirming in a way that truly supports the client are like two different things.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's something we'll definitely unpack more as we dig into the rest of the findings.
So even though therapists in this study, they were trying to be affirming, there was still something missing. It makes you wonder, like, why? Why were they missing those microaggressions,
Yeah.
especially in those affirming videos, you know?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it kind of points to like a few different possibilities. One potential factor could be like the training therapists actually get. A lot of training programs still emphasize this like transition-focused model of care, for transgender and non-binary clients.
So they're learning to kind of approach therapy with the assumption that like most, if not all, transgender and non-binary clients are going to want to like medically transition.
Yeah, often that is the case. Yeah. And while that's definitely a valid path for some, for a lot of people, this focus can unintentionally lead therapists to, like, I guess, gender generalize is the
So
term.
gender general, what does that mean in this context?
So it basically means, like, assuming that all transgender and non-binary people have the same experiences
Yeah.
and the same goals, It's a form of, like, oversimplification that can lead to those, kind of subtle but very impactful microaggressions.
So even though a therapist might be trying to be supportive, they could still be making assumptions based on this like limited understanding. Can you give an example of like what that might actually look like in, a real session?
Sure. Imagine like a client who's talking about, their struggles with gender expression. And the therapist, even though they're like, generally supportive, keeps kind of steering the conversation towards medical transition, even if the client hasn't expressed, any interest in that.
Oh, I see. The therapist is like kind of imposing their own framework or their own ideas on the client's experience, right? Rather than truly listening and like following the client's lead.
Exactly. Or, maybe the therapist uses language that reinforces the gender binary, like
Yeah.
constantly referring to like men and women when they're discussing gender identity. These might seem like small things, but they can actually like really undermine a client's sense of feeling safe and validated,
Right. So it's not just about avoiding like the big, offensive language or actions. It's about like cultivating a deeper sensitivity to like how those nuances show up in therapy.
Absolutely. And this
Yeah.
is really where that like concept of multicultural orientation, the MCO
Yeah.
that we were talking about earlier, this is where it becomes really important. Like a therapist who has, high cultural humility, for instance, they're going to be more aware of their own biases and limitations,
Yeah.
and more open to learning from their clients, less likely to kind of like impose their own worldview on the client.
So self-awareness is a really big part of this.
Huge.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that, even if you identify as an ally or like as an affirming therapist, you still come to the table with like your own baggage, your own assumptions and biases. And those can have a really big impact on how you, see and interact with clients.
This makes me think back to that kind of surprising finding, that there wasn't a difference in how therapists spotted the microaggressions in those two affirming videos. Even though, one was clearly more tuned into the nuances of non-binary identity, does that like tie back to this idea of cultural humility?
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah.
The therapist, maybe they recognized like the blatant transphobia in that not affirming video. But when it came to those like more subtle microaggressions in the seemingly supportive approaches,
Yeah.
they had a hard time, like telling the difference. Their own assumptions may have kind of gotten in the way.
So it's almost like they had a like a blind spot, right? Like
Yeah.
they could see the big obvious problem, but those smaller, more nuanced issues kind of like fell through the cracks.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And it really speaks to the importance of ongoing training and education for therapists, even for those who, see themselves as affirming and knowledgeable about gender identity. There's always more to learn, and those subtle things really matter.
Speaking of like learning and growing, there was another finding in the study I wanted to talk about. It was about like the connection between the therapist's own personal attitudes, you know, towards transgender and non-binary folks, and their ability to spot those microaggressions. What was going on there?
Yeah, so researchers actually found that therapists who like reported having, you know, more positive attitudes towards transgender and non-binary people, they were more likely to pick up on the microaggressions in that, what was it called? The transition affirming video.
Oh, that's interesting. So like their own personal beliefs were in a way shaping how they were seeing what was happening in the therapy session.
It seems like it, yeah. And it suggests that their understanding of the importance of individualizing care, of not imposing those assumptions, it played a role in, you know, how well they spotted those biases.
It really makes you think about like the weight that a therapist's own views have in that therapy room.
It does. And it highlights the need for a therapist to like really engage in some honest self-reflection about their own, you know, beliefs and biases. It's not about trying to be totally neutral or like, you know, not having opinions. It's more about understanding how those opinions might be influencing your perceptions and your interactions, you know.
Yeah. And I imagine that level of like self-awareness can be tough to, you know, to cultivate.
It could be challenging. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really essential like for ethical and effective therapy, especially when we're talking about, you know, working with marginalized communities.
So earlier we talked about multicultural orientation, right? That like big umbrella term that includes, you know, cultural humility and also cultural comfort. Did they look at any of those other parts in, you know, relation to these videos?
They did, yeah. When it came to cultural comfort, so that feeling of ease and talking about, you know, cultural issues, they didn't find any significant differences between like any of the three video conditions.
Interesting. Why do you think that might be?
Well, you know, it could just be that it's hard to like really gauge, you know, accurately a therapist's level of comfort just from a short video. It's one thing to say you're comfortable talking about stuff, and it's another to like really embody that comfort, you know.
But the saying talk is cheap, right? It's one thing to talk the talk, but can you walk the walk?
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, the therapeutic relationship really hinges on that sense of like authenticity. Clients can, you know, they can often tell if a therapist is just like going through the motions or if they're really present and comfortable, you know.
Makes sense. Okay, so cultural comfort might have been a little tricky to like really measure here. What about missed opportunities? Anything interesting there?
Yeah, actually, when it came to those missed opportunities, there was a pretty noticeable difference between the two affirming conditions. Participants actually rated the therapist in the non-binary affirming video as missing fewer opportunities to like explore the client's cultural experiences.
So the therapist who was really attuned to the nuances of, you know, non-binary identity was also more likely to recognize those moments where like digging into the client's, you know, unique perspective could be helpful.
Exactly. It's not just about like avoiding harm or saying the right things. It's about actively looking for those opportunities to really connect, you know, to understand their experiences in the context of like, you know, their background and their identity.
It sounds like, you know, this kind of attunement takes a real combination of knowledge, self-awareness, and just like a genuine willingness to like meet the client where they are.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it.
It seems like there's like a real art to being an effective therapist, you know, especially when you're working with like transgender and non-binary clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And this study really, I think it highlights how important it is for a therapist to keep learning and to really like, you know, look at themselves. It's not enough to just go to like one training or read one book. It's about like actually looking at your own beliefs and biases and like, you know, how those might be playing a role in how you work with clients.
So it's a journey, not a destination.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's true for like everybody, not just therapists. We all have biases, right? And we can all like learn and grow in how we, you know, approach gender identity and diversity.
For sure. Okay, so we've talked about a lot, but let's bring it back to, like, you know, the person listening to this. What are some key takeaways?
So if you're someone who's looking for therapy, especially if you're part of the TGNB community, it's important to, like, remember that even therapists who say they're affirming, they might not totally get it, you know?
Yeah.
Like all the nuances of gender identity, or, you know, they might not see those microaggressions. So don't be afraid to ask them about their experience, you know? Like, what's their approach to therapy? How do they make sure they're providing, like, truly affirming care?
So do your research, ask questions, and, like, trust your gut, right?
Exactly.
If something feels off, you know, don't be afraid to say something or even find a different therapist.
Yeah, for sure. You deserve to feel seen and heard and respected in therapy.
Yeah.
And finding the right therapist, you know, that can make a huge difference.
Absolutely. And beyond that, like the individual level, what are some like bigger takeaways from this research?
Well, you know, this study really pushes the mental health field to look at like what it really means to be affirming.
Yeah.
Especially for, you know, TGMB clients. It's not enough to just like say the right words.
Right.
It's about like really understanding gender diversity and being open to, you know, challenging your own assumptions and committing to like always learning and growing.
So how can, you know, the whole field move toward that like deeper understanding, that more like, you know, nuanced approach?
Well, I think like for one thing, we need to move away from that like one size fits all model.
Yeah.
You know, the kind that a lot of training programs use. Not every transgender or non-binary person, you know, needs or wants the same things. We need to like really get that, you know, embrace that diversity.
So more individualization, less generalization.
For sure.
And what about those subtle microaggressions that the study was looking at? Like, how can therapists get better at seeing them?
I think supervision and consultation are so important. Like, having a space to really, like, debrief after a hard case, to talk about your own reactions and, you know, your potential biases, to get feedback from other people, that could be really helpful.
So it's not about like expecting therapists to be perfect, right? It's about creating an environment where they feel comfortable like admitting what they don't know and getting support.
Exactly. And I think like the more we can just have open conversations about these things, about microaggressions and implicit bias, the better therapists will be able to, you know, provide really good and affirming care.
This has been such a great deep dive. Is there like a final thought you want to leave our listener with?
You know, this study gives us some really good insights, but it's just one piece of the puzzle, right?
Yeah.
We need more research to really understand, you know, microaggressions in therapy and how to deal with them. It's a field that's always changing. Yeah. And the goal is, like, you know, to make sure that all TGMB clients get the care they deserve.
It's a good reminder that, you know, we're not done talking about this. There's always more to learn and more to do to create a, like, truly inclusive and affirming, you know, mental health world.